don't know. It all seems kind of nice to me.
What does?
Well, you know, families hanging together. I mean, a wife cooking dinner for her husband. And look, she seems really happy.
She's medicated. And acting from a script written by a man.
Well said, Sister Suffragette.
Casting every other week, watching movies from Gilmore Girls. My wife and I are having a blast. Podcast.
You didn't even have an ending?
No.
Please.
I did it. With my eyes closed, just singing my heart out, and you don't even care.
I mean, occasionally your eyes are open because you looked at me creepily while you're doing it.
Creepily or romantically? I don't know which one you're going
for. You thought your eyes were closed, so I don't think it was romantically.
Oh, I don't know. That is Feed the Birds.
That's actually a reference that they use later in the show.
Oh, we're not there yet.
I'm just saying. They reference that song specifically.
That was Walt Disney's favorite song. He would go to the Sherman Brothers and say, and he would like go to their house and say, play it. They would play that song.
I want to be powerful and important enough
to say, play it.
Yeah, say two words and would know exactly what I want.
Good luck.
I don't even, my children don't even.
No.
No.
Okay, so how you doing?
Pretty good.
Good, how's?
It's been a bad parenting week.
Eh.
You know.
How's the scandal all going?
Oh, man. So last night's reunion, as we are recording this on Thursday, we watched it last night, part one. It was good, but a little underwhelming, even though I was really excited while I was watching. So I'm really hoping that this means that there's more to come, that the next two parts are going to be, like, really good. Because this was, like, there was really nothing in this reunion that, like, I didn't already know about.
I mean, it's basically what I expected.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Really good stuff, though. When everyone said there was, like, a possible altercation coming, I was like, well,
they kind of showed that with the, like, next week.
They've been saying it since it was filmed. People have been saying, two cast members almost got in a fight, and you won't believe who it is. And, like, I mean, there's only three men on there. I wouldn't have guessed any of the women would have gotten into an altercation. Tom and Tom aren't going to get in a fight. Schwartz and James aren't going to get in a fight. So it probably is going to be James and Sandoval. Sure enough, there's going to be James and somebody. James is the shortest ever of any human in the history of the world.
He did call him a poo-poo head, though, yesterday.
No, but he did call him something funny like that.
I don't remember.
He did call him a worm with a mustache. That was in part one.
Yeah.
It was great. It was enjoyable. I really like it.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Awesome. It's good.
I can't wait to see Raquel be fed to the wolves.
Yeah.
Her reactions are just... I don't know.
All I know is I can't say anything that someone comes off as defending Sandoval because he gets so mad.
Like three times.
I defended things that were said, which were true.
Okay, someone would say something. Sandoval would argue against them, and you would go, I mean, he has a good point. You can't do that.
I like giving all options, all views.
Sandoval.
And one time I was defending Sheena, and you acted like I was defending Sandoval.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is that in my heart of hearts,
Well, if you're upset...
did disagree with what Lala was saying. However, in that moment, I'm not going to agree with Sandoval. I'm not going to agree with Sandoval on anything.
I mean, you need to take it up with Lisa because she defended Sandoval.
We didn't talk about this last
week. She's Queen Lisa Vanderpump.
No, Lisa has a history of defending these men... when they screw up, it's just, oh, he's just a man. You guys weren't sleeping together all that much. He just needed to get off. Like, she has such a boys club mentality, and it's disgusting. And this is the first time that the girls have actually stood up to her about it. That was what came out of last night's reunion that was actually really good, was that the women actually were like, Lisa, you have to stop standing up for these men when they cheat on their girlfriends and wives and whatever.
But I also thought it made sense when Andy said, you all have cheated on each other. While it's different, you can't throw stones. Even though it's different because of the friendships.
Since the
scandal, you still can't throw stones.
No, you can throw stones when you cheat on somebody with a very, very good friend of theirs for as long as they did, mm-hmm. for a relationship that lasted as long as it did. And with his friend's ex-fiance, which that pissed me off when James was like, you were a big brother to me. And he was like, well, that's what you called me. Roll the tape, Andy Cohen, because Tom Sandoval definitely referred to James as a really good friend of his and may have even called him a little brother to him. Roll the tape from the horrible season 9 where James and Tom were like really close, because Tom is full of it to say like, we're not even friends. I never talked to you. That's crap. Sandoval sucks. Nothing's changed in that regard.
Well, next time we talk on this podcast, we would have watched both of the next two, probably. Unless we record earlier in the week, which is always my goal. So maybe we'll only watch one, but there's a good chance we would have watched.
It's very unlikely.
I don't know.
With the way things are going.
Yeah. Anything else?
I'm reading a book. This book is called My Calamity Jane, and I love it. And I didn't realize, I have been embarrassed reading these books. This is probably like the fourth book I've read by these authors. It's like a team of three authors that writes, they're called the Lady Janies. So they've written a book called My Lady Jane.
Lady Jane is a Rolling Stones song.
Interesting. There's a book called My Lady Jane about some 17-year-old girl that was like a queen for 12 days. So they take these like historical events and historical people and then write this like fantastical book. So there's like shapeshifters, and the one I'm reading now is about werewolves, which I guess are also shapeshifters, and like ghosts and stuff, but in the world of this like historical figure. This one I'm not a huge fan of because I don't like the Wild West.
Mm-hmm.
I know zero things about Calamity Jane. Annie Oakley is in it as well, and the only things I know about her are from watching my sister do Annie Get Your Gun when she was in high school. But the last one I read was about Ada Lovelace and Mary Shelley, and that one was really good. That was called My Imaginary Mary. I read one about Jane Eyre, who is not a historical figure, but also Emily Bronte was in it. Emily Bronte? I always mix them up. Charlotte Bronte is the one who wrote Jane Eyre. That one was called My Plain Jane. And I read one about Mary, Queen of Scots. Is that it?
I think so.
And that was called My Contrary Mary. They're all really good. They're silly. I mean, this book is about werewolves. But it's set in historical times and mm-hmm. includes some historical pieces. I don't know. It's really interesting. I enjoy reading them. They're very long.
Interesting.
But they're very YA, very like immature, but okay. Good. I like them.
I'm reading a book called The Book of Basketball.
It's a big book, too.
It's like 600 something pages, 700 pages. So it's pretty big. I don't know.
This one's like 500.
Yeah. But it's also like just big, like.
It's a large book.
And it's written by Bill Simmons, who I never really liked that much.
Who's Bill Simmons?
He's a sports journalist.
Oh.
And he... Isn't this
such a weird job?
He wrote this in 2008, 2009-ish. And then he did he redid it because things change over years. I mean, like 2016 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the one that he did in 2008 and 2009, which is humorous because, like, it goes through. He explains how he thinks the Hall of Fame should go, like, in with pantheons of, like, there's a tiers, different tiers. And then, like, the pantheon is the top 10, and they should be either the highest in the. Anyways, he has a whole thing.
Did you notice my eyes were glazing over and you just had to speed through it?
Yeah, because you were falling asleep.
I'm
just saying that Calamity Jane and Jane I don't care about any of those people.
It's not that I don't care. Does not compute what you're saying.
But it's through like 2009 or whatever. So there are a lot of players that are not that should be on that would be on it today, like Giannis Antetokounmpo, and
I don't know that name.
Okay, he plays for the Bucks. Milwaukee.
Dikembe Mutombo.
Just because of the commercials.
No, yeah.
That's 100% why. Dikembe Mutombo.
Dikembe.
Yeah, he played in the 90s, though. Yeah, his famous thing was the wag. When he blocked a shot, he would wag his finger.
My favorite thing.
And yeah, he did
that. Yes, I only know about him from the commercials.
So you had to give me Mutombo.
I know, to give me Mutombo. I know Dr. J from both Full House and The Office.
What's his real name?
Julius Erving.
There you go.
He played for the Sixers.
He did.
So that's why I know him pretty well.
He started out in the ABA.
I know what that means.
But
American Basketball.
In the 70s, there was Association. It's only lasted like 5 years.
Did I get it right? Is it the American Basketball Association?
It was only like 6 or 7 years, and then it completely went kaput. And then he went to the NBA. But he played for the Virginia Squires, I think, in the ABA.
And he also played himself on Full House and The Office.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was also in Full House, I think.
Am I mixing them up?
I don't remember Dr. J either. I think Kareem was
It there. Might not have been Dr. J, though. Dr. J was on The Office, though.
I think, which would make sense, because Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played in L.A., and they were in San Francisco. That would be California. I think he taught Uncle Jesse.
Yes,
I think that's
Curry. I was 50%
basketball, but it's been interesting because there are just I'm kind of like it, but I also am really annoyed because it has a lot of like frat boy humor, which I just don't find humorous. But one part, it made me laugh because he talked positively about Jared Fogle from Subway, and it did not age well. That was 7 years before everything happened.
Yikes.
That made me laugh. I forgot about that scandal. Yeah. So, we're also watching TV, which is fun.
Yeah.
And one show we're watching is Ted Lasso, which is super good this season.
So good.
This week, we haven't watched it yet because of life. But I was wanting to bring Ted Lasso because you know who Ted Lasso kind of reminds me of?
Who?
And who I think he'll be at the end of this. I don't know how the show's going to end this season. He's kind of like Mary Poppins. The reason for this is he comes out of nowhere.
Oh, and he's just going
to
leave.
And yeah, and he brings light to these people. He teaches them. He's just a presence during this time. And then he leaves with them better off. And I think he'll leave at the end of the season.
Okay.
Don't mess up my analogy.
Well, he didn't
segue.
He was
to segue.
Like, he was just like,
people dancing in the locker.
Wasn't he a good football coach?
No. I don't think his thing was that he was a good football coach. He just went viral.
Okay, he went viral, but I thought he was also a good coach.
I don't think it was that he was a good football coach. I need to rewatch.
Yeah, we need to go back.
But I don't think,
I'll give it to you. That was a good analogy. I'll give it to you.
Okay. So, let's talk about Mary Poppins. What's your history with Mary Poppins?
I didn't watch this one much when I was a kid. I know your family watched it a lot, but I don't remember watching it much. I know that there were like pieces of it that I knew. I knew Spoonful of Sugar because it was on one of those Disney sing-along
videos. Yeah, I used to watch those.
But I don't know that I ever... I don't think I watched the movie all the way through until, like, adulthood.
Wow.
I don't think we had it.
Wow.
I don't know. My sister could probably correct me, but I don't think... And it's funny because it's a movie that doesn't really have a villain. And I was so scared of villains when I was a kid. That, like, there are a lot of movies I didn't see.
People that worked at the bank are kind of seen as the villains.
They're not, like, the scary villains, though, that would have, like, made me have to turn the movie off.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that I didn't watch it when I was a kid, because I feel like it would have been a movie my mom would have been, like, safe showing me. Mm-hmm. Like, Little Mermaid we didn't watch, because I was so scared of Ursula. And, like, I didn't see The Wizard of Oz until I was a teenager.
Yeah.
But I feel like Mary Poppins is a pretty safe one. So I should have watched it, but I didn't. So probably I didn't watch it all the way through until, like, Luke was watching it, our nephew, when I joined your family.
Yeah. Interesting.
I'd seen pieces of it, though.
I don't remember when I haven't watched this movie.
Yeah.
We had it on VHS and watched it a bunch. I don't know how many times we watched it. It's, like, over 2 hours. It's a long movie.
It is a long movie. I don't think I realized that until... So our nephew watched it a lot. When I was babysitting him a couple times a week.
When you had to put DVD in.
Yeah.
Couldn't just turn on Disney Plus.
That's true. But, I mean, multiple times a day would want to watch this movie. And I remember the first time I watched it with him, I was like, this is a lot longer than I thought it was. Like, I feel like I thought it ended halfway through.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not bad, though.
Where is this mentioned in Gilmore Girls?
As I heard at the beginning, when Rory said, well said, Sister Suffragette, which Philip wanted to argue with me about.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
I'm going to bring it up.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but you can go ahead.
Philip wanted to argue it because he thinks that sister suffragette could have been any, like, it could have just been a phrase used instead of quoting the movie. However, I say it is a quote of the movie because she says, "Well said, sister suffragette," which is a line in the song. Then also in season 2, episode 15, Luke says collectible plates, and Taylor says, "Isn't that a great idea? Elvis, the Beatles, Mary Poppins, all the greats." Season 3, episode 18, Rory says, "Because you need to be a chimney sweep to sweep a chimney." And Lorelai says, "Please, if Dick Van Dyke can do it, so can Luke." And then season 4, episode 1, Luke says, "Look at this place. Look at you. All you need is 6 dancing penguins and Mary Poppins floating in the corner to bring back 2 of the worst hours of my childhood." Season 4, episode 14, Emily says, "Just be here and be on time and get your hair cut. You look like the bird lady from Mary Poppins last time I saw you." Season 4, episode 15, Lorelai says, "No, it's just I can easily picture him in his study with his dog and his pipe and his fancy feathered pen writing, 'Cheerio, old bean. Have a cup of tea. How's Big Ben? How's Tower of London, sister suffragette? Tuppence a bag.'"
Speaking of better accents.
That's how she does it. That was like, I was mimicking Lorelai mimicking. And then season 6, episode 13, Lorelai says, "Well, you know, she didn't say it like that, but she said, 'Oh, dinner with Rory. How delightful. We'll spit spot alert the corgis.'" I don't think that that's a reference, though, now that I'm reading it. That sounds like a reference to the Queen.
Yeah.
She has corgis.
I don't think that's a...
Unless spit spot is one.
Well, she does say spit spot.
Okay, maybe that's it then.
So maybe. It's hard to know sometimes. Like, that doesn't mean that it was a reference to Mary Poppins.
Okay, well, I'm not dead.
Same with, "Well said, sister suffragette." I'm 100% sure.
Still not dead. Season 6, episode 16, Lorelai says, "Hey." Christopher says, "Hi, Mary Poppins." Season 6, episode 22, Rory says, "Shush now, none of that talk, because tomorrow brilliant things will happen, a new life, a new adventure." You like adventure, don't you, mate? Well, London is certainly the place for that, and we, frankly, would not be the fine chaps we claim to be if we did not send you off in a proper way with the bash of a lifetime. Come on, someone get this chap a pipe. See if you can't be happy, at least you can be drunk. And Logan says, "Kiss me, Mary Poppins." And Rory says, "Really? I thought it was more Gwyneth Paltrow, Shakespeare in Love." And it actually says, as I'm reading these quotes, in a bad accent.
Okay. I believe you.
I intentionally did it. I did it.
Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and get going with Mary Poppins. I am not going to attempt any type of an accent because I famously, famously in my family, cannot do an accent to save my life.
So bad. I was
Italian or Jamaican which really hurts me because I have loved acting and doing theater stuff, but man, if it calls for like set stage in London or something, I have to sit this one out.
Say forget about it.
Also, when I say that, I often do that on purpose as well.
So funny.
Yes, because I'm hilarious. But when I auditioned for My Fair Lady, I think I was like, maybe I should try an accent. Never, if you can't do an accent, never audition with an accent, even if it's set in London, I've learned, or anywhere.
Yeah.
Just do your normal voice, and maybe they'll let it slide.
Yeah.
Because I think the guy who got the part I wanted, I don't think he did an accent. But, so they picked him. I mean, he was a better singer than me anyways. But so I wouldn't have got it. But I was not going to get it because... I was like, I'm gonna come in and do with this accent. And they, what are you doing? Anyways, I'm still.
Okay, no accents from you.
No accents
from me. I do not make the same promise.
Yes. All right, so we're going to start in London in the spring of 1910. George Bakes returns home at number 17 Cherry Tree Lane to learn from his wife, Winifred, that the babysitter, Lady Nana, has left their service after their children, Jane and Michael, had run away for the fourth time this week. Wait, for the fourth time this week.
It's just reminding me of nothing going, I was sick last year.
What?
Oh.
What?
The episode of Bluey.
Yeah, and I'm talking about Bluey.
Yeah, when they're doing the video. When...
Yeah, I didn't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what I said that reminded you of that.
You said leak. And Muffin said, I was sick, Yastlia.
He doesn't say, she doesn't say leak, though.
No, but she says Yastlier.
Okay. They are returned home after by Constable Jones, who reveals the children were chasing after a lost kite. That is when they decide to hire a new nanny. Mr. Banks advertises for a stern, no-nonsense nanny. In contrast, Jane and Michael present their own perfect advertisement for a kinder, sweeter nanny in their song called Perfect Nanny. I wish I had the names. I did not put the names down. But I always liked the kids who played John and Michael. They were also in a Disney movie called The No-Mobile, which I used to watch all the time. The No-Mobile. Did you ever watch that?
But we've talked about it a lot because you and your sister have like very fond
memories. I love The No-Mobile. The kid who played Michael passed away like 12 years later. He died really young. Not to bring this podcast down. Yeah, he went overseas and got some type of an illness there. Winifred, who strongly agrees with the children, tries to keep the peace. After ordering Jay and Michael to go to bed, Mr. Banks rips up the letter and throws the scraps in the fireplace. A strong wind draws the fragments up through the chimney and into the air. The next day, a number of elderly nannies wait outside, which most of those nannies were actually men in drag. I don't know if it was most, but a lot of the nannies were just men in drag.
Why?
I don't know.
They didn't want to give women a job?
No.
It's unfortunate for women.
I know. That's what Winifred was upset about. The gust of wind blows them all away, and then Jay and Michael witness a young magical nanny descending from the sky using her umbrella. Presenting herself to Mr. Banks, Mary Poppins calmly produces the children's restored advertisement and agrees with his request, but promises that she will be firm with his children.
Julian.
Played by Julie Andrews.
She looks great.
Yeah.
She was in her prime in her Mary Poppins days.
She was. She did this movie after she famously did not get the role of Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady.
Oh, right.
Because she originated that on Broadway.
Which is interesting, because didn't Audrey Hepburn not sing in that?
Yeah, she didn't sing. They dubbed her voice. They wanted a name. I mean, that was before, by then, yeah. Julie Andrews hadn't, she was on Broadway. If they had cast My Fair Lady after Mary Poppins, she would have gotten it.
Sure.
They were done simultaneously, and I think My Fair Lady, she didn't get that, so that's when she went to Mary Poppins. But she won an Oscar for Mary Poppins, and Audrey Hepburn won nothing for My Fair Lady. So there you go.
Perfect.
As Mr. Banks puzzles over the advertisement's return, Mary Poppins hires herself, and she convinces him it was originally his idea. She meets the children and helps them magically tidy their nursery as they sing Spoonful of Sugar. And as a kid, I've always wanted to be able, I remember wanting to be able to snap my fingers and make the room clean itself. As an adult, I also wish that.
I don't know if being a kid is the reason that you'd like that.
Yeah.
I think anyone would like that. No one likes to
clean. But you knew that song.
Except for Jackie. Jackie likes to clean.
But you knew that song.
I did know that song. Because of the...
the videos.
Disney sing-alongs. Mm-hmm. And with the beginning with the birds that are in the classroom.
Yeah.
Gosh, I love that. That like unlocks a memory in me when I think of that.
Just that one song?
I mean like the opening. All of them? I used to watch all of them.
Yeah. Well, outside, they meet Mary's old friend, Bert, a jack-of-all-trades working as a street painter, who is played by Dick Van Dyke, which brings us to today's...
this is such an easy
number one. Number four.
We know so much about Dick Van Dyke and so much about Gene Kelly.
Number four ranked podcast segment.
5 degrees, 5 degrees or less of Gene Kelly.
Dick Van Dyke is in a movie called What a Way to Go. With Gene Kelly.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I don't think they had any scenes together. And I've actually never seen the movie. Shirley MacLaine's also in it. I think Cary Grant might be in it.
It's a very interesting mix of people.
Like, Shirley MacLaine, it's like different stories told. Shirley MacLaine has had four husbands, and they've all died. And I think it's a story of, like, those husbands.
Okay.
And I think Gene Kelly's one of the husbands. And I think Dick Van Dyke was one of the husbands. I mean, it was made in the late 60s. I think it was made after Dick Van Dyke, after, like, the Dick Van Dyke Show. Probably around the same time as Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, if I had to guess.
I love Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, yeah?
I love him so much.
So do I. He's still kicking.
He was on Masked Singer.
He was on the Masked Singer. That was fun.
That was exciting. And who called it? Who knew it was him?
Me.
I knew before you.
Me.
Stop! I knew it!
Yeah, you did.
Give
you
me
did.
This one.
You did.
Oh,
yeah.
I knew it before you did. I knew Dick Van Dyke.
Anyways, I do love Dick Van Dyke. Where were we?
I don't know.
You don't know. Hoppins uses her magic to transport them into one of his drawings. Well, and which was always, I mean, as a kid, was easily my favorite part of the whole movie.
And also, I knew these songs too. I think just like,
Jolly Holiday?
Yeah, like the songs and the dances of Mary Poppins, I think, were like around.
Yeah.
I just didn't think.
So I drive my carousel. Mary Poppins and Bert go on a leisurely stroll. Together, they sing Jolly Holiday. And when they're singing Jolly Holiday, one thing P.L. Travers, the author, said about the movie, because she kind of had final say, more or less, but also famously hated the movie. She told him that one thing that they needed to do was Bert, who is not a character in her books. It's like a conglomeration of two or three different characters. But Bert and Mary can't be any question over whether or not they are an item. They're romantically involved. So
I can see her being upset about Jolly Holiday.
No, I was gonna say that's why they put that in Jolly Holiday. Yeah,
it makes it look like they're on a date.
No, because they put in Jolly Holiday like that he's a nice guy, he's not gonna try anything, with the lyrics kind of lead into them not being. There's no way they're an item.
When Mary holds your hand, you feel so grand. Your heart starts beating like a big brass band.
Yes.
And this is supposed to show that they were not romantically connected.
Well, not those lyrics. I'm talking about the other lyrics.
It's all the same song, though, right?
Yes.
So they added in the song where he talks about how his heart beats really fast when he's around her to dispel any thought of them being romantically linked.
It made sense in my head when I said it.
Does not.
And I still think it makes sense.
Okay.
So I'm going to edit all that out.
I like to sound smart sometimes. I've had a dumb week. I have, because my brain's in 10 million different. You know when like you're thinking about a million different things and you try to talk to a person about one thing?
Yeah.
But like, you can't.
That's when you turn off your brain.
No, I was doing an assessment the other day, and I do this like speech at the end of it about, you know, I'm going to send you some surveys, and then I'm going to send you this clin card, and, you know, then our labs are going to look over the data and decide if you're good for study. Someone asked me a question while I was in the speech, and I forgot what I had just said to them, and I was like, and I like needed them to clarify the question, because like I just talked without hearing myself talk and had no idea where I was or what I was talking about. So I'm having a dumb week. You need to leave that part in so that I can sound smart, even if it makes you look dumb, because that's marriage.
But anyways, whenever they talk about it, they say they put that in too. So it really is what I said. It was actually true.
I'm sure that somebody in some
but way anyways,
thought that that dispelled any rumors of a romantic relationship between Bert and Mary Poppins.
I still think it does. I watch that. I think that they're the furthest thing from being romantically involved. I disagree.
They sit under this.
I am pointing to move on. I
lunch served to them.
I 100% disagree, but I'm going to move on.
What a date!
So.
The children aren't even there for the
fun. Because they're on the curve. They're carouseling it up. Mary Poppins enchants the carousel horses. Bert rescues a fox from a fox hunt. They take part in a horse race, which Mary wins. And that's when they sing Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You'll notice, really, and I chose Feed the Birds to start this. My goal I had decided, just randomly, was whenever I sing a song going forward, to sing one that you would not guess that I would sing.
Because 100% that is who you are as a person.
What does that mean?
It means that you regularly choose the unexpected, less popular option in all areas of life.
My favorite band's the Beatles. What's
your favorite song of the Beatles? Is it one that everybody knows?
It's one that if you go, it's usually like number one or number two on the list. If you go to any list, A Day in the Life is going to be number one.
The Beatles, they don't think of it.
But if you ever go to like the top 100 songs, it's always going to be in the top.
What's your favorite Frank Sinatra song?
Frank Sinatra song? Probably I'm a Fool to Want You. That's a an amazing song. Okay. Young at Heart, which is well known.
That is a well known.
That's also.
Maybe that one. What's your favorite movie?
Singing in the Rain.
How old are you?
Okay. I like old things.
I'm just saying.
What's your favorite movie?
I don't even know.
Breakfast. 100%.
Yeah, how old are you? I'm not saying I'm not like you. I'm just saying that is a thing that you do. You don't like to choose the more popular option. You well, like just for you this. Like the B-sides of things. Is that the right term for records?
That's
I got it then. Okay, then I am smart.
Except Strawberry Fields Forever and Penny Lane was a double A-side record.
Interesting.
There you go.
Isn't it just called a B-side because it's the other side?
Yes, but it was released as a double A-side.
How do you do...
I don't know. It must have said A on both. I don't know. I wasn't alive back then, but I do know.
Well, like it was like an accident?
No, on purpose, probably. Because they were... Oh, God. Because they were... Probably because John wanted his to be an A-side, and Paul wanted his to be an A-side, so it was a double A.
I'm so confused by life.
Yeah. The outing is in when a thunderstorm dissolves Bert's drawings. However, they do the penguins, which I do like. That's Dick Van Dyke, pure comedy right there, and him dancing and all that. I do like that aspect of that. It didn't mention the synopsis.
Yeah.
So the thunderstorm dissolves Bert's drawings. And it's funny because whenever I'm watching this movie, every time I think the movie is going to be over shortly after that scene, for some reason I feel like that's near the end.
That's pretty close to the beginning.
When it's very close to, it's like within the first 30 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mary forces the children to take medicine to avoid getting sick and puts them into bed. But when Jane and Michael become too excited to go to sleep, she calmly sings a lullaby to them to help them go to sleep. Stay awake.
Adele thought that was a good song. Adele really liked that song.
She would have started this podcast with that song.
She would have. It's funny because I never remember that song ever, but Adele loves that song.
The next day, the three meet Bert's odd uncle, Albert, played by Edwin.
This is a scene that I never remember. Every time it comes on, I go, oh, yeah.
I love the fact that Edwin basically becomes Disney royalty. He's been doing Disney. He was in Alice in Wonderland and some other Disney movies. And he's older, and he just doesn't give a crap. That he doesn't even attempt any type of an accent. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is either doing a fake accent or having a real accent. He's
known for his voice, though.
Yeah, but he still like didn't even attempt it, any type of an accent. Well, so good for him. That's what I want to do.
That's what you should do. That is not what you have done. That is what you should do in the future.
Yeah, the organ for a tea party on the ceiling with lots of jokes. I love to laugh. Oh, I should have done that one. Yes, I start the podcast over. So. That song, I love to laugh.
Okay.
Yeah. So the kid who played Michael, he was afraid of heights. So like every minute or some type of time that he was up there, they would give him like a dime or something for being up there. Yeah.
But you know what? Bribery freaking works.
It does.
I almost just cursed.
Okay. Afterward, Mr. Banks becomes annoyed by the household's cheery atmosphere and threatens to fire Mary Poppins, but she persuades him to take the children to his workplace the next day. That evening, Mary sings to the children a hymn-like lullaby about the woman who sits on the steps of the St. Paul's Cathedral selling bird food. Feed the birds.
I really like that song.
Yeah.
I know that it was Walt Disney's favorite, but I really like that song.
You can like the song that was Walt Disney's favorite.
Because he would get upset.
He did.
He might get upset. I don't want to upset him.
He would die in the 60s.
I don't want to upset him.
He died like 5 or 6 years after this movie was made.
Maybe he's still listening.
He doesn't care about us. The next day at the bank, the children meet the elderly Mr. Dawes Sr., played by Dick Van Dyke, who they did not want him to play that part. Or he had to say...
Like, fight for
him. Well, yeah, he had to say, he won't paint me. And I think for this role, and I think what happened is he ended up putting the makeup and everything on and like fooled enough people that they thought he was old, like just an old guy, that they allowed him to do it.
Adele did not understand that.
I told her, I said, that's the guy who plays Bert. And she's like his dad. And I was like, no, that's him. Like in makeup. And she was like, no, it's not. Yes, it is.
Yeah. He urges Michael to invest his tuppence in the bank. And they sing Fidelity Fiduciary Bank. Michael demands his coin back. Other customers overhear the conflict and they all begin demanding their own money back, causing a bank run. And I remember as a kid, this is when I got really bored.
Yes, because
I didn't care about the bank. Jane and Michael flee the bank, getting lost in the east end of London until they meet again with Bert, now working as a chimney sweep because he has many jobs, who escorts them home and they sing Chim Chim Cheree.
Oh, I love that song.
The three and Mary Poppins venture onto the rooftops where they have a song and dance number with other chimney sweeps when they start dancing and singing to Step in Time. After their neighbor, Admiral Bloom, shoots cartoon fireworks at them, mistaking them for robbers and calling them cheeky devils. Yeah, so then they're
British people.
Mr. and Mrs. Banks return home and find Bert's friend dancing in their home, and Mr. Banks sends them away. Then they get a phone call from the bank requesting a meeting with him about what the children did. The children overhear the phone call and realize that the father is in trouble. Bert tells Mr. Banks that he needs to spend more time with his children before they grow up.
That's right, Bert.
Yeah, he knows what's up. Mr. Banks walks through London to the bank where he is given a humiliating cashiering and is dismissed. Looking to the tuppets, he blurts out
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yes. And then tells Uncle Albert's wooden leg named Smith joke. The children told and happily heads home. The next day, the wind changes. Meaning Mary Poppins must leave. A happier Mr. Banks is found at home having fixed his children's kite and takes the family out to fly it. I also could have done Let's Go Fly a Kite. I love that song. Right? I probably sing that song at least once every 2 weeks. Oh, yeah. I don't think I miss Sister Suffrage. That was at the beginning.
You hate
women. I don't hate women. I don't.
You better not, because you live in a house with three human women, a female dog, and a female cat.
Yeah.
You're very outnumbered.
Yeah.
You used to have Charlie to help you out, but
you're Charlie.
He couldn't stand the heat. So he had to die.
And Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins.
It's just a little dark.
Yeah. Mary Poppins, a lot like Ted Lasso will probably do, saw that his work was done, or saw that her work was done, and ends the movie by flying away with Bert, just like Rory is going to say, telling her not to stay away too long. It's going to end with Rory saying, don't stay away too long.
Oh my gosh.
And that's Mary Poppins / Ted Lasso.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. These parents still have jobs, right?
Yeah.
You still need a nanny.
That is true. But maybe now, because she has changed the atmosphere and everything so much, and she has made Mr. and Mrs. Banks, I don't know, better parents, maybe
they can get a nanny now.
They can get a nanny, and it doesn't have to be this special magical one.
Okay.
So,
buy it.
Yeah. Walt Disney. That's
always bothered me. I've always thought, I get that she left, but, the parents still can't be home all day.
Yeah. Walt Disney cast Julie Andrews for the lead after seeing her in Camelot on Broadway. When she mentioned she was pregnant, he offered to wait until she had her baby to start filming and offered her then-husband, Tony Walton, the job of designing costumes and some sets for the movie.
So she had just had a baby?
Yes.
Her and Audrey Hepburn, man. Audrey Hepburn was, 2 months postpartum when she filmed
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
She just had a baby. I'm sure we'll talk about that when we watch it.
The tradition of good luck rubbing off when shaking hands with a chimney sweep is one with a bittersweet meaning. Because of the inhalation of coal dust, the life of a chimney sweep tended to be rather short and end up unable to work and spending his final days in poverty. As chimney sweeps had poor luck combined with short lives, the notion was that the luck that they couldn't have to themselves could be transferred to others. So there you go.
Horrible.
Yeah. Robert B. Sherman, who is the lyricist.
Wait, was he the one played by BJ Novak or the other one?
I don't know which one BJ Novak is.
Because I can only picture him.
Neither of them look like their acting counterparts.
Because BJ Novak is very attractive.
Ironic.
Real life people are not that attractive.
Is BJ Novak not a real life person?
No.
Robert B. Sherman had searched for nearly 2 weeks for a catchy phrase that could be Mary Poppins' anthem. He came across the perfect title when his young son, Jeff, came home from school one day and announced that he had received a polio vaccine. Thinking that the vaccine had been administered as a shot, Sherman asked, did it hurt? He replied, no, they just gave it to me on a cube of sugar and I swallowed it down. So then he came back the next morning to his brother, Richard Sherman, put the phrase to music, and a spoonful of sugar was born.
Okay, but now I need to know which one was BJ Novak.
It doesn't.
It matters to me.
Yeah. Both, and then My Fair Lady, they were close. Both movies began filming around August and September of 63. So they really started filming at the same time.
Cool.
Yeah. Matthew Garber was the name of Michael. He was paid 10 cents for every time they filmed the tea party scene. The Sherman brothers came up with the idea of Winifred Banks being involved in the suffragette cause to explain why she would be so neglectful of her children. They needed a reason for her. So they came up with that.
How dare a woman have a life?
Neglectful.
She's not neglectful. She's just not always home. That's not the same thing. Jason Schwartzman was the other one. That's right. Oh, Jason Schwartzman was Richard Sherman and BJ Novak was Robert Sherman. So he was the one who had the son with the polio vaccine.
They didn't have that in the movie.
It was not in the movie. But they did have the part where they came up with the medicine, go down. I do remember that. So maybe we should say what that movie's called because we've both been
referring to Mr. Banks?
Yeah.
That was the first time, I think, it was.
I know, but we were just talking about it. Like, everyone knew Saving we were Mr. talking Banks. About. And I don't know that many people really saw Saving Mr. Banks.
He did. That was when we watched, like, 4 movies, 4 days
in a row. Is that one of those?
I think so. When I got all those AMC tickets. We just spent 4 straight days watching.
Yeah, middle school teachers don't get nearly as many gifts as elementary school teachers got.
Yeah.
Just an observation.
So, that is Mary Poppins.
That's Mary Poppins.
What are you going to... Who in the Gilmore Girls Universal like it?
I mean, clearly Lorelai does. She references it 10 million times. Luke does not. He said it was the worst 2 hours of his childhood.
Wow.
That's what he said in the reference.
Yeah. That's harsh. What are you going to rate it? Out of 10 cups of coffee?
7.
Okay.
It's good for what it is.
I'll rate it an 8.
I think that it's... Our nephew has ruined it for me, so I really don't want to watch it again. Watched it so many times.
That's what being with kids is like.
I know.
That's how kids work.
The snowman. If I never watched The Snowman again, I would live.
Well, I like The Snowman. Life.
I mean, it's fine. But it's not as long as Rick Robbins, so it's better.
That's how having kids is like, though. I mean,
I don't know many things that our kids have ruined for me, though.
I don't know.
That's because you never watch when our kids are watching. So they get invested.
Don't get invested, man.
Sometimes the voices of the cartoon characters are people I know, like Justin Guarini playing the cat burglar in Super Kitties.
Okay.
That was very exciting for me.
Sure it was.
It was also exciting for me when I realized that the parents in Vampirina were James Van Der Beek and Lauren Graham. Oh, and it all comes back to Gilmore Girls.
I'm very excited about that.
That was very exciting.
All right, the next movie is The Music Man, starring Robert Preston. And Shirley Jones? No? Shirley Jones?
I have no idea.
The Music Man?
I have seen Music Man on stage once and I was not a fan. So I don't really want to see the movie.
Shirley Jones.
Wasn't Matthew Broderick in a Music
Man adaptation? And Kristen Chenoweth.
Did we watch that too?
No. You've never watched that.
Okay, good.
It's not that good. That one's not that good.
But they're both so good.
Well, oh yeah, Music Man, that's correct. I'm going to mention my thoughts about Matthew Broderick.
I love Matthew Broderick.
He's a great theater actor. Not a good movie actor, in my opinion. Especially since he started doing theater.
He's not a movie actor.
Since he started doing theater, especially.
Ferris Bueller.
I can't stand Ferris Bueller, but we're going to watch that and we'll discuss that. I think that's a horrible movie. But... Obviously, I have not told you that.
It's been shot through the heart.
But his with theater, you need to be big with your actions and reactions.
Anyone would describe Matthew Broderick as like big.
He is really dramatic. That works for theater, does not work for movies. So yeah, I don't think works for voiceovers, like, yeah. So like for Music Man, I don't think he was that good. The producers actually really do like the movie.
I was gonna say he's really
good. Do like the movie. I think he's still overly dramatic. With that, I mean, that's Mel Brooks. That's an overly dramatic part, anyways.
But wouldn't you have to be able to be dramatic in a movie musical?
No, not in a movie musical. I not the same way you would be for, in like a theater. So I actually do not think he's that great.
This sounds very nitpicky to me, and I don't like it because I really love Matthew.
I know. And Kristen Chenoweth was in it. And she's good. It was in the late 90s before I... And I've only seen it that one time.
Was that old?
It might have been like 2001. I was in high school. So it was like 98 to 2002. It's because I've been watching it at my parents' house when I was in high school. But I mean, I watched it before I even knew who Kristen Chenoweth was.
Probably we should have the rest of this conversation next episode.
Probably should. But anyways, The Music Man is probably my top five musicals of all time, so I'm super excited. Meredith Wilson. Love it. Alright, so we will talk to you next time when we talk about the amazing The Music Man.
Ferris Bueller.
Bye.
Bye.